Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Luke. We are in a brand new chapter today, chapter number 14. So I hope that you have your volume turned up. I hope that if you are not driving, you have a Bible out so you can follow along. And I hope you have an open heart, most of all, because it's only as we open our heart to the Word of God that God can do the work that He wants to do. Josh, good to have you again today on the podcast.
Great to be back.
We are in chapter 14. Let me read a verse or two. It came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees. So what we're going to find in chapter 14, Josh, and you know this, of course, is an episode in the life of Jesus that includes a lot of teaching. And Jesus has been confronted by, he's been dealing with many of the religious leaders over the past couple chapters. Those of you that have been on the podcast know that. But today, the Bible says, he receives an invitation to go to the house of a chief Pharisee. So this is like one of the upper up guys. So what I see in this, Josh, and I'll let you, you know, rein in with your comment here in a moment as well. But what I see here is just really the mercy of Jesus. So we view him as one that was a friend of publicans and sinners. He was willing to bend low to meet the dregs of society, but he was also willing to accept the invitation to this chief Pharisee's house too. So I see it on both sides.
Yeah, I love this too, because you see that. And of course, the Pharisees were not willing to bend low as Jesus did. But yet he goes to the house of this chief Pharisee. And as we'll see over this chapter, he was very gracious and merciful and kind in he was blunt in his responses to them and in his answers to them. But man, the graciousness that he treats them with as he's there dining with them in this chief Pharisee's home. It's just interesting to see the dichotomy there.
So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were chided by the Lord for things like, you guys are so concerned about being seen of men. Matter of fact, Jesus said they did everything they did to be seen of men. And they were really concerned about what other people thought about them. They were concerned about their positions of honor, being recognized, being thought of well. So when the Bible says he was invited to the house of one of the chief Pharisees, this was an RSVP event. Mm. This was a special, I mean, all the people, if you are somebody mm-hmm. religiously, you're going to be there.
Yeah.
And watch in verse 1 what the motive was.
Yep.
Because the Bible says that he came to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. So everybody was just finding some way to trip up Jesus. They're looking for a way to bring him down. Wow. It speaks to their motive, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. And if we think for one moment that that Jesus didn't know exactly what their motive was, we'd be sorely mistaken. Jesus knew exactly what they were trying to do. And it's just amazing to me how he handles himself here at this meal. And as he just talks about parable after parable after parable in the next two chapters, just the way that he teaches these Pharisees along the way. And if I can say it this way, puts them in their place.
He does. And there's kind of a lateral teaching here as well. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but isn't it amazing that people that we like, we're predisposed to watch them to see what good we can, like mm-hmm. maybe a politician we like,
yeah.
or a sports star that we like. We're going to dismiss the bad things he does, and we're going to elevate the good. And yet, if we don't like somebody, maybe it's the political party that we're not affiliated with, mm-hmm. or the sports team we don't like, or whatever, then we're going to look at them only through the lens of negativity. So your attitude about somebody is so important going in. So going into this meal, their attitude is, we want to find something bad. We want to find the dirt on this guy.
Yeah, that was certainly their desire. I mean, whatever they could do to minimize his impact on their society and minimize his ministry, they were looking for a way to do that.
So as he's making his way into the house of the Pharisee, this seems almost like an unnecessary fact that the Bible is including, but it's going to become the centerpiece mm-hmm. for his teaching. Right. Look at verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. So a man that was suffering physically in some way, some kind of a paralysis. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, they knew the answer to that. The answer to that, and they had already pointed this out, is no. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do any healing. Doctors weren't supposed to do their work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus had already pointed out it was okay to for them to help their animal out on the Sabbath day or to do the things they needed to do. So they didn't answer because it would put them in a bad position. If they said, you can't heal, then they're going to alienate themselves from the people. If they say, you can heal, then they're agreeing with Jesus. So they just don't say anything. Verse 4, they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. So they didn't say anything. So in the absence of their words, he healed this man. Wonderful.
Yeah, so kind of going back to what you were talking about before, you know, here they come, they watch him. I don't know this to be the case, but perhaps they brought this guy in just to test Jesus and see what he would do. Would he follow the tradition? Would he not heal this man on the Sabbath day? What would he say? And the interesting thing is that they don't even ask him a question. But if you look at verse number 3, the Bible says, and Jesus answering, and he spake unto them. So they've not even asked him a question. He already knows, you know, he's got their motive.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. He answered their silence.
Right, right.
No, I like that a lot. It wouldn't be uncommon for poor people to sit outside of the home of a rich person. Mm-hmm. Remember Luke 16,
yep,
where
exactly.
that Lazarus sat outside of the gate of that rich man. So in other words, the implication is this man had never been helped. This man was a man that had just become scenery in the lives of these religious people, much like the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the priest and the mm-hmm. Levite, they walk by on the other side.
Yep.
I mean, I feel bad for this guy, but I can't help him. I don't have money. You know, maybe he's not legit. Whatever the rationale was.
Right.
So look at verse 5, where the Bible says, and he answered them saying, which of you? So interestingly, when Jesus taught, he would often ask questions mm-hmm. because a question makes you examine your own conscience. So he says, because he still knows their heart. As you pointed out a moment ago, even though they didn't answer and he healed them, he still knew what they were thinking.
Right.
So now he's going to point out the fallibility of their thinking by asking them a very pointed question. Which of you shall have a donkey or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway. I mean, you're going to get on that thing immediately and pull him out on the Sabbath day. So it's a rhetorical question because every one of them would do just that. You know, they would take care of their tractor. They would take care of their farm equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They'd make sure that their business was intact, even though it's the Sabbath day. I mean, that's a legitimate exception, but they're not going to help this guy.
Yeah, and here's where I was kind of getting at earlier when I said that, you know, Jesus answers them graciously and teaches them graciously because he kind of points here a little bit to their humanity. I mean, you guys, you know, you would help an animal out, but in pointing to their humanity, he kind of, in a way, also points to their inhumanity. You'll help your animal out, you'll save your business, but here's this guy that needs help, and I have the ability to do it, and you know, you're gonna kind of judge me. You're gonna tell me that I'm wrong for healing him on the Sabbath day when you would, you know, help your animals on the Sabbath.
And we use similar arguments today, not necessarily about the gospel, but like we'll say to people, oh, you're so concerned about pets,
right?
You're so concerned about, but you're not concerned about baby humans, right?
Yep.
And so we use the same kind of argumentation today. It's not that Christians shouldn't care about animals. We do.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that, boy, there's greater priorities
right,
here.
Right, right.
Look at verse 6. They could not answer him again to these things. So Jesus had bested them in argument. He had given them a rationale that all they could do is chew on it. They couldn't answer him. Verse 7, and he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. All of those people that had been invited to this meal, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms. Okay, I say rooms here. You're picturing a bedroom, a living room, a family room. But the room here simply means places. Okay, we would say today seats or a place. So when Jesus went into the feast, the Bible says what he did is he watched to see where people would sit. He marked.
Yeah.
He took notice of that. So there's a teaching right there, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The fact that Jesus would look at them and say, okay, well, here's someone who's trying to get close to the head of the table, so to speak. You know, there's a problem there. And Jesus marked that. He'd made notice of that. And now he's about to give them an incredible lesson on humility, really.
So he did that in both good ways and bad ways. So remember, there was another time when Jesus stood over against the treasury. So kind of in a side spot.
Yeah.
And he watched how people gave.
Right.
He watched how these people ostentatiously gave, and they put their coinage in the upside down trumpet shaped receptacles that would receive the offering. And everyone oohed and awed as people gave a lot of money. And then he watched how that little widow woman came and gave her two mites and said to his disciples, she gave more than everybody else.
Yeah.
Because she gave out of her substance. So he's watching how people are giving. He's watching here how people are clamoring for these seats. Because, wow, look at how important I am.
Right.
I'm closest to the chief Pharisee.
Yeah.
And we saw even, lest we get too negative on the Pharisees, because that's very easy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, did not Jesus' own disciples struggle with this?
Yeah, who's going to be by your right side? Who's going to be first in the kingdom, for sure?
Even after Jesus had clarified that the kingdom was anything but that.
Yeah.
He said, the kingdom is about denying yourself, taking up your cross,
right,
following me. And yet, even after that teaching, the disciples were like, oh, kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, can I be on the right hand? Can I be? And Jesus kept on rebuking them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't hearing it. And then even the mother of James and John got involved and said, hey, I was just wondering, you know, would it be possible, you know, if you could have, you know, my boys sit on the right hand and on the left?
Right.
To me, it's if it weren't so sad, it would actually be humorous, wouldn't it?
It just reveals our human nature. You know, it doesn't matter how much teaching we have on humility and putting others before ourselves and the first should be last and the last. It doesn't matter how much teaching we have. Human nature tells us that I need to be first. I need to do what I can to climb to the top of that ladder.
So we're going to quit here. But we're going to come right back to this tomorrow, because I want you to see how Jesus, it's amazing, how Jesus shows them, shows them themselves. I think you'll enjoy it. But that's all the time we have for today, my friends. Appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.